Corinthians chapter 15. Thank you, girls, for singing this morning. I mentioned earlier before we began singing that we've gathered to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And again, it is something to celebrate. And what I'm going to do in this message is I'm going to show you the reason why we celebrate Christ's resurrection. We're going to title the message, Take Man, Why We Celebrate Christ's Resurrection. And in order to show you this, what we're going to do is we're going to look at the book of 1 Corinthians 15 and show you what would be true if Jesus never resurrected. And that's what the book of 1 Corinthians does in chapter 15 in verses 13 through 23. It shows you what would be true had Jesus not resurrected. And when you look at the negative part of it, then you can see how indeed important it was for him to resurrect. So we're going to look at verses 12 and 13 to begin with. I think I wrote these down. If you can't see it, don't worry about it. And don't be afraid of it. I know if you've been with me a while, I usually use a 3 to 4 point outline and get that done in 45 minutes. So 6 points, man, it's going to be dangerous, isn't it? So no, we're going to move quick on that and try to get all this in a reasonable fashion so that you can go home. But the message I'm giving you this morning, I'm going to be honest with you, you might hear it preached somewhere else, or you might hear it preached from a lot better preacher than I am. It won't make any difference. But you won't hear any more important message than what you're going to hear this morning. Trust in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is tantamount to you being saved. You have to trust that he died and resurrected again. So this morning, this will be the most important message you've ever heard or ever will hear. Might be from a different person, but nothing any more important. Whether you trust this today or not is what determines your eternal destiny. So you need to listen closely to that. Let's talk about now the importance of his resurrection. Notice what it says in verse 12 and 13. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were some there that were members of the church of Corinth that were teaching that there was no resurrection. So what he does in this text, look at that Pepsi cup. Where's Clarence? Them charismatic preachers get a golden goblet and I get a Pepsi paper cup. Isn't that something? Now, there were some that denied the resurrection. I don't think they denied that Christ resurrected, but they denied that one day we will resurrect. They were denying that one day we would resurrect. So what he does in this text is teaches them what would be true if there was no resurrection. And from doing this, we're going to show you how important it was. Indeed, one of the greatest events in all of history was the resurrection of Jesus Christ. One of the greatest events in all history. Verse 13 says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not resurrected? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. So that's our first point we want to look at this morning. If Jesus didn't resurrect, it says that our preaching would be vain. That's the truth. I wouldn't have nothing to preach. The idea of the word vain means that our preaching would be empty, our preaching would be useless. In all reality, we wouldn't have anything to say. We wouldn't have anything to preach about. You know why that is? Because the salvation message, which is the gospel message, is a two-part message. Notice what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Notice what it says in verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what? Gospel. Everybody in the house this morning needs to know what the gospel is. The gospel is God's salvation message. It is the message by which he saves and pardons and forgives a sinner. Now, notice what that message consists of. Notice in verse 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And folks, that is the full gospel. The full gospel is that Christ died for your sins and rose again the third day. But if there be no resurrection, you see, the gospel's two parts. You can't just have the death of Christ without having the resurrection of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. If Jesus never resurrected, his death means absolutely nothing. It was essential that he resurrect. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you would have no gospel. The word gospel means good news. All I could do was stand before you and say the Bible teaches that all men are sinners, Romans 3:23. And then I could go on and tell you that the Bible teaches that the penalty for sin is eternal death. I could tell you about that. But if there was no resurrection, I couldn't tell you but good news. Christ died for sinners and rose again the third day. Without the resurrection, we would have no gospel message. No gospel message. Guess what? No salvation. And all of our preaching would be vain and would be empty. Good news this morning. Christ died for our sins, but what else did he do? He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture. You want to know a little something this morning? That's why I'm saved. You know what? And here's what I want for you above all things today. I want you to know you're saved. I want you to know you got a home in heaven. But you know why I know I'm saved? You know, if they took me to the gates of heaven and they had stopped me there, which they're not. But if they stopped me at the gates of heaven and say, Jeff Arthur, what right do you have to enter this wonderful place? You know what I'd say? Christ died for my sins and rose again the third day. That's how you're born again. If you don't mind, let's look back at 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 and 2, and look at what it says about the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye have received. Everybody say received.
Received.
You see, it has to be a whole lot more than knowing what the gospel is. You got to be able, it has to be more than being able to quote what the gospel is. There's a lot of people that know the gospel that's never received the gospel. They've never trusted it as the means of saving them from their sin. They know it. They know Christ died as a historical fact. They believe he resurrected as a historical fact, but they've never received it as a means of saving them from their sin. They've never done it. You may be here this morning just like that. You know Christ died. You know he resurrected, but you've never trusted it. You never received it. Does everybody see that word received there? Notice what else it says. Wherein you stand. Verse 2 says what? By which you're what? You're saved by the gospel. That's why you're saved. If you come and tell me you're saved, my first question is going to be, why do you say that? Why do you say that you're saved? Well, you say, well, I've went to church for 20 years. That ain't good enough. Amen. Nowhere near good enough. There's a lot of people who's went to church for 20 years that's lost. Why are you saved? Well, I'm doing the best I can. That's not good enough either. The best you can is never good enough. If it was good enough, Jesus would never die to start with, would he? Why are you saved? Well, I was baptized with this church. That's not good enough either. Baptism doesn't wash. It's the blood that washes, not the water.
Amen.
Why are you saved? You know what I want to hear? Christ died for my sins and rose again the third day. Oh, God's people say it. Amen. I'm standing on that too, and that's what my confidence of my faith is in that. Without the resurrection, you would have no gospel. And if we had no gospel, we would be, of all people, most hopeless, would we not? Resurrection is essential. You know, my faith would be in vain, too. What's the rest of that verse say? What's the rest of the passage say? It says your preaching would be vain. I wouldn't have nothing to preach about. But it says your faith would be vain. Your faith would be vain. Does everybody in the house know you're saved by faith? Romans 5:1 says, therefore, being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. My faith would all be vain if Jesus... My faith would be in a dead Savior. You can't have a dead Savior. My faith this morning is in a living Savior. See, there's a great deal of difference there. My faith is in a crucified, risen Savior. But if he never rose again from the dead, my faith would be in someone that is what? Someone that's dead. You see, when he resurrected from the dead, that proved that the Father accepted the atonement he made for my sin. If the grave held Christ, it would have proved that that atonement was not accepted. And if that atonement that he made for our sin was not accepted, we would still be in our sin. And our faith in Christ would be completely vain. Can I read y'all my favorite text this morning? I'm going to anyway. Look at the Gospel of John chapter 20. Let me show you what it is. Gospel of John chapter 20. Are y'all worshiping yet? Or are you thinking about eating? Man, you need to be thinking about worshiping. Man, this is an awesome thing. Because of the gospel, I have something to preach. Because of the gospel, my faith's not in vain. But if he never resurrected, both would be true. John chapter 20. I read this to my Sunday school class this morning. Gospel of John chapter 20. I'd like to have this put on my tombstone. Y'all remember that. I love this text. The disciples were in the upper room, scared plumb to death because their Lord had been crucified. One Sunday come around and Jesus appeared, and it says they were glad when they saw the Lord. You know, it says that in the earlier part of chapter 20. But one of them wasn't there. Thomas wasn't there. And he said, unless I take my hands and I touch the prints of nails in his hands, and unless I touch his side, he said, I'm not going to believe it. Are you like that this morning? Would you have to physically see Christ for you to believe on him? Do you have to physically see something or feel something in order to trust Christ? Before I go further, I want to tell you something. Let me tell you what God's going to give you. He ain't going to hit you with no lightning bolt or run a charge of electricity up your back and tell you it's time. He gives you His Word, and He asks you by faith to accept it. And let me tell you something. That's all you're going to get. If you're not careful, you'll wait your way right into hell. That's all He gives you. Now listen to this now. So old Thomas is there the next week. Jesus appears. Vision this in your mind. They're in an upper room. Now the 11's there. They got Thomas there this time. And as soon as Jesus appears, he focuses his eyes on Thomas. He knew what he said. Come here, son. Come over here a minute, he said. You take your hand and you touch my side. You take your hand and you touch the nail prints of my hand. And don't you be faithless, Thomas, but believe it. Thomas says, my Lord and my God. Now, here's my favorite verse of Scripture, you remember. Verse 29, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they which have not seen me, yet have believed. Oh, God's people said. Listen, I ain't never saw him. I've never physically saw him. I'm going to. I know that. But personally, I've never saw him. I've never seen him in his resurrected body like the apostles. But yet, I believe. Not seeing, yet believing is the definition of faith. My faith this morning is not in a dead Savior. That's what separates Christianity from all religions of the world. They can show you the grave site of all their founders. You know, all we can show you is an empty tomb.
Amen. Amen.
Where He was. He resurrected from the dead, and He declares, all that put their faith in His death and resurrection, He will wash them clean from their sins, make them His children, and take them to heaven. Oh, God's people say it. Without the resurrection, faith would be vain. Notice what else it says. You be found false witnesses. Turn back to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm moving pretty good, so don't get excited. 1 thankful this morning, Coy, my faith is not vain. It's in a risen Savior and based on the Word of God. It's called saving faith. Saving faith. A lot of difference between faith and just knowing something. A lot of difference between the two. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, let's go ahead and look further at the next part. Verse 15, yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, and so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead are not raised, then it is not Christ raised. It says we are found false witnesses. That was the Apostle Paul wrote that. You know who at one time, now we don't have these fellows today, though people claim to be these guys. It makes irritates me. There is no apostles today. That was a special office. I could preach on that, but I'm not going to. But that was a special office. And one of the qualifications of an apostle is you had to see Jesus in his resurrected body, physically see him. And they bore record of Jesus' teaching, and they bore record that indeed Jesus did resurrect. And Paul's saying, if he didn't really resurrect, then what were they? We're false witnesses. We're liars. One of the things, and some of those History Channel shows makes me mad when they talk about religion, because they try to explain it something that has to be accepted by faith through man's eyes. And it actually irritates me to death sometimes. But the apostles, as we announced there a little while ago, they were the eyewitnesses of his coming. And one of the things that was reported was that they stole his body. Boy, they got courageous awful quick. Because, you know, 3 days earlier, whenever he was arrested, they ran. So, if you just think just for a little bit, maybe they did steal his body. Let's say they did. You know, people will lie. You could get 11 or 12 guys to lie about something like that. Do y'all agree? There's 12 people that's lied over things like such as that before, different reasons. You might get 12 people to lie about something. But you want to know something about these apostles? Every one of them died martyr's death. You will never get 12 men to die for a lie. Simon Peter, as Jeremy mentioned when he preached last Sunday, the tradition says that Simon Peter was crucified upside down. Jesus told Simon Peter that he would be crucified one day in the Gospel of John. And the tradition says Simon's cross is one upside down because he said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. And they crucified him upside down. He died. Don't you think if he was alive, he said, now wait a minute. Don't kill me. He really didn't resurrect. We hid his body. Wouldn't that be what you have done? Would you die for a lie? The Apostle Paul seen him also. He was an apostle. You know what he did? He was brought in before Nero. And he set his head down and they took a sword and chopped his head off. Do you think you could get this man to die for a lie? Thomas was taken to the top of the temple and thrown off the temple to die. You think you could get him to die for all the apostles died martyr's death? I'm telling you this morning, they were not false witnesses. They not only seen Christ, but listen to me, folks, they were willing to die for it. Christ resurrected, though didn't resurrect, they would be found false witnesses. Notice verse 4, and this is one of the main parts of the message. I want you to get this every drop. Verse 17, if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, and your what? Yet in your what? Yet in your sins. All right, let's divide the congregation up this morning. Your sins are either put away, remitted, removed, or you're still in them. One or the other. And I want you to know this so bad I can taste it. Your greatest need is not a new job, a new car, or a better home, or even better health. Your greatest need is to have your sins remitted. All God's people say. That's your greatest need. Because I want to tell you something. Your greatest loss would be to die in your sin. That's the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody, would be to die in their sins. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I'm afraid someone might. Do you know when you're going to... Does anyone in the house know when they're going to die? Anyone in the house know when they're going to die? None of us do. I believe we all have a time, but the problem is we don't know when that time is. And I imagine that probably 99.9% of the people here this morning would, if they knew they was going to die at 12 o'clock, would want to be saved within the next 15 minutes. Would y'all not agree? You know the problem with that is? You're not guaranteed 15 minutes. You never know when your time's going to come. And if you're yet in your sins, you need your sins removed, remitted, put away. And there's only one place that can get done. And that's by faith in the crucified, risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Only way. And you need to get that done. You need to get that done today. I want to read you a little something. My buddy done a church paper. And this is in it. It was just, y'all listen real close to this. Y'all. It was the start of a holiday weekend, and the service station was crowded. Finally, an attendant hustled up to the local minister who had been waiting in line for some time. "I'm sorry about the delay, Pastor." The attendant apologized. "It seems like everybody waits until the last minute to get ready for a trip, which they knew they were going on all along." Pastor smiled and said, "I know what you mean. Have the same problem in my business." Think about it. Everyone here this morning knows we're going on the death trip one day. Does everybody in the house know that? Unless Jesus comes. If you know you're going to take that trip, why are you waiting until the last minute to get ready for it for? You're not guaranteed you're going to have the... You know, I've heard young people tell me, "Well, you know, I just want to sow a few wild oats and have a good time." Have a what? Have a good time. And then one of these days I'm going to... Are you waiting on one of these days? You know, I've done the funeral of several people that was one of those days type people that never did. You know how hard it is to do that? Not to be able to give the family hope. There's no profession of faith. There's none whatsoever. You know how hard that is to do that such thing? Let me ask you, are you yet in your sins? Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 8, "Unless you believe that I'm He, you'll die in your sin." Same thing is true today. Unless you believe that He is the Messiah and accept Him as your Savior, you'll die in your sin. And there's no greater loss than that, than to die in your sins. You don't want that. That's why you need to trust the blood. Number 5. Notice what else it says. See how fast I'm moving? I'm going to get you up probably early. Don't get too excited. I ain't done yet. That's what else it says. Verse 18. They which are fallen asleep in Christ are what? What does it mean to fall asleep in Christ? It means to die. Their spirit, you know, if I die, my spirit would go to be with Christ. But what would my body look like? Looks like it's sleeping. That's why it's called sleep. It's a softening of the word. It means to die. It says if there was no resurrection, then those that have died are what? They're perished. Those that have died have perished if there is no resurrection. You know, this is a holiday, and holidays always make you think about what? Think about your family. And a lot of times you can think about holidays going by and look at now and some of the family you had before is no longer here. Some of them's passed on the other side. Some of them has departed this life. Let me ask you a question. If you're here, if you're born again, where's the best place to celebrate this holiday? This is the second best place. The best place is heaven. Best place to celebrate it is looking and beholding the Lamb of God, which took away the sin of the world. Best place to celebrate this particular holiday. Isn't that our comfort? When we have a loved one that's passed and knowing that they're with Christ, knowing who they're with, listen now, knowing who they're with, knowing where they're at, and knowing one day you'll see them again is what carries you whenever a loved one passes. Do y'all not agree? If you're here this morning and saved, you need to let your family know that if they don't already, you dads, you daughters, you sons, you need to let your family know that. Because you know one of the first, listen now, you know one of the first things people ask me whenever their family passes? Does anybody know? Jeff? Do you think they's okay? Jeff, did they ever say anything to you? You know the hardest thing it is? You know the hardest thing it is, Bill, is Bill, I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know whether they did or not. Does your family know whether you are or not? Do they know whether you are or not? And if you're not, You know the greatest thing you can leave behind your family is not money? Do you know what carries a family when this time comes? Is the fact that you've trusted Christ, you're with Christ now, you're still living just in a better place. And one day they'll see you again. That's what carries them. But you know, without a resurrection, John Moore, you wouldn't have that hope. Those that are falling asleep are perished. Death would be the awfulest thing in the world. Death would be the awfulest thing in the world without Christ's resurrection. Those that have fallen asleep are perished. But I'm thankful today those that are falling asleep in Christ are with Christ. My loved ones I expect to see again. When I say goodbye to one of my family members that knew Christ, it's just goodbye for now. See you what? See you later. It's never goodbye forever. Oh, God's people say it. Last thing. Verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ is the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at His coming. Jesus Christ was the first fruits from the dead. Now, if you think just for a moment, you say, now, wait a minute, Jeff. Jesus wasn't the first one to resurrect. And He wasn't. You can see there are examples in the Old Testament where a couple of folks was raised from the dead. Jesus raised three people from the dead. He raised Lazarus, and He raised a widow of Nain's son. He raised several people from the dead. So, why does the Bible say that Jesus was the first? Listen to me. Lazarus died again. The widow of Nain's son died again. Jairus' daughter died again. That one that Elijah raised from the dead died again. Listen to me. Jesus was the first to resurrect, never to die again. He was the first fruits. Afterwards, they that are Christ at His coming, because He resurrected. One day the haven of rest will be open, and all the bodies that were placed in there that knew Christ, they will come forth a new body and be with Christ in the clouds of heaven. All God's people said, because He resurrected, we're going to resurrect. Without His resurrection, there would be no resurrection of the just. None. Hardest part of a funeral service is when you put somebody's body in the ground. I think that's the saddest, hardest thing. Go to that old graveside and look down there at that old cold ground. But you know the Bible says all we're doing that's planting. It says that we're not sowing, we're planting the body that shall be. It calls it sowing. You know, one of the things I like about springtime is a tulip. I like tulips. Do you? Did anybody ever brag on a tulip bulb, though? You know, a tulip bulb's ugly. But you know what you do with a tulip bulb? You plant it. See, you sow it down into the ground. But you're not sowing the body that shall be. You plant that thing in the fall, but in the springtime, what comes up out of the ground? A different body. Is it beautiful? Sure is. That's the way it is for a Christian. Their body departs, their spirit departs to be with Christ. But you take that body and all you're doing, when I go to that graveside coy, all I'm doing is a plant. From that spot, one day, when Christ comes again, it's going to come out a new body.
Amen.
One without sin, one that never ages, one that never gets sick, and one that never dies. And we're going to get that because Jesus resurrected. Man, isn't that awesome? No resurrection. This is why we celebrate. You know, actually, we celebrate His resurrection every Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday. That's the day He resurrected. We celebrate it every week. It's something to celebrate. We should come into church excited this morning about celebrating the resurrection of our Redeemer. Because He resurrected, our preaching's not in vain. Our faith is not in vain. The apostles were true witnesses, and so are we. I'm no longer in my sins. Those loved ones that's departed are with Christ. They've not perished. And because He resurrected, one day we're going to. Oh, God's people said. Isn't that wonderful? See why we celebrate it? See why it's the greatest event that ever happened? Without that resurrection, none of that was what would be true. When you look at the negative side, you see the importance of Him resurrecting again from the dead. We'll conclude with one passage of Scripture. Look at Romans chapter 10. Look at Romans chapter 10. What I do, throw my glasses away. I can quote these. Hey, I can quote these, thank God. Romans chapter 10. Well, you're in bad shape when you can't even find them. Now, we're done with the message, almost. I showed you the importance of the resurrection. Do you see how important it is? You don't have to agree with it, but you can see how important it is. The greatest single event that ever happened in all history. And you can see what all is true because He resurrected. Have you worshiped this morning because of it? Isn't it an awesome thing? Now, how do you get saved? That's what it says in the book of Romans 10. Everybody in the house listen? That if thou, listen to what he says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thy heart, and believe in thy what? In thy heart. That God hath raised him from the dead, what's it say? Thou shalt be saved. Is that not what it says? Believe in thy what? Believe in thy heart. It means to trust in your heart. That God raised him from the dead. Verse 10 says, for with the heart man believes into righteousness. With the heart man believes into righteousness. And with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Verse 12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all, is rich, and on all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call, what's it say? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, what's it say? Shall be saved. You don't have to have a degree in theology to understand that. It says if you realize you're a sinner and you realize that He died for sinners and rose again the third day and you in your heart trust that He died for you and you call upon His name and receive Him as your Savior, it says thou shalt be saved. You say, well, Jeff, there's so many different churches and they add so many different things to it. Listen to me. Look at the thief on the cross. He was a sinner. Bible says he was a malefactor. What did he do? Lord, I want you to remember me when you come into your kingdom. That's what he said. I wonder why he said remember. Probably felt like he's too bad to go. He couldn't offer the Lord nothing. You know what Jesus did? He said, today, you will be with me in paradise. That's one of the men I want to meet after Christ when I get to heaven. What saved him? What Christ did. And I'm telling you this morning, you don't have to be confused some more. All you got to do is look at the sample there and you can know. Have you called? Have you trusted Him? Have you received Him as your Lord and as your Savior? Are you yet in your sins? If you're yet in your sins, and you die, you'll die in your sin. Steph, would you come?